Well, my name is Phil Sang, and I'm President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, and I enjoyed very much the conversation and the presentation that just was presented about Russia, because I think it really pointed out so many different things about market development and getting started in a market. I appreciate Terry's comments about the idea of moving those two loads of livers to Russia about 15 years ago, and I remember that very distinctly because we went to the beef board, and we've kind of couched this more as a research project, but the idea was is that we knew there was demand in Russia. Even by that time, with the changes that were occurring, they were not putting any emphasis on agriculture, and their cattle herds and everything in Russia from where they were probably 15 years ago are down about 60%. So we reasoned back then there would be opportunity for Russia as an opportunity market, a new market for the industry. And I remember we went up to Montfort, we got two loads of livers and sent them over to Russia, St. Petersburg. They came in through St. Petersburg. And these containers, we just opened the containers up almost at the port. And of course, there was an importer who brought this in, but it was sold right out of the containers. And it was a big, big hit. There was other processors and people there that saw this. And this really was the genesis for this whole thing as far as getting livers started. And what's happened in the last 15 years in Russia is that you've had this tremendous growth in really the last 4 or 5 years with this oil growth and the wealth that's been engendered by the oil industry. It's been totally on fire because at one point in time, Russia was also one of the largest markets for certified Angus beef, a very high-end product that was going in. So you had the livers and maybe most of your low-end stuff, but you also had your very high-end stuff, and that's really kind of the differences you have in some of these markets. I think the question also about... You know, the growth in the market, one of the things you have when in a lot of countries, you know, they don't put agriculture on a high priority, and they didn't put it on a high priority in Russia either. And so you have the Russians now are saying we have to do something to beef up, if you will, agriculture, beef up the beef industry and the protein complex. But you have this tremendous growth that's going on in the country. And there's just no way that they can grow their agriculture to keep up with that kind of growth. And this is the same kind of dynamic that you see in Japan, you see it in Korea and these other places. All the producers want to produce as much as they can. Agriculture wants to be self-sufficient. But the dilemma they have is when their economies are growing at the rates they're growing, they just can't keep up with the demand. And so as economies improve, you know, people want more proteins. They move from the cereals to the proteins, and this is what really drives this growth. So I think that Russia still is not in the WTO. And then once it's in the WTO, and that's going to be that's accession negotiations that are going on with the U.S. and also with the WTO. But that's going to make Russia even conform to more disciplines, and it's going to be nothing but advantageous for us. I think the last thing is that we look at the numbers just very briefly. Our major competitors around the world are actually down on their exports. Australia is down. Brazil is down, for example, 26% this year versus last year for the first five months. We're seeing it because of the rising inputs, these costs, and a lot of these things. It's made it very, very difficult. So we feel that the U.S. industry is posed very, very handsomely to take advantage of this growing demand that's going on and also competition that's being hampered by costs and a lot of other things. So we're pretty excited. We've had, as you all know, it's been 5 years. It'll be 5 years in November since that first case of BSE. But today our volumes for the first 5 months of this year are up 29%. We're up 39% when it comes to the value. So we're basically about 87% of the value of where we were for the first 5 months of 2003. On a value basis, we're 87% there. So we're getting close to where we were. On a volume basis, we're about 70%. Today, we're exporting about 9% of our production. About 6% of that would be the muscle meats, and about 3% is the variety meats. So we're gradually getting back. And I think once we can get back into Japan in a meaningful way, Japan's our fourth largest market, but it has always been our number one market. We see tremendous growth in that market, and obviously we're going to see some tremendous growth coming in the Korean market. So I think it's going to be very, very positive for us as we go forward. I think a couple other things just as far as the international marketplace is concerned. We really see our approach in the markets is to develop markets. But also, you know, there's only so many markets out there. As someone said, there's only so many virgin forests, you know. And that's the same thing with markets and beef markets. When you look at 191 countries around the world, who can pay for it and these kinds of things, it kind of narrows it down pretty dramatically, especially a high-quality beef product like we have. But in the markets, there's market development, but the other strategy that we have is market displacement. And when you look at a market where there's already a lot of business going on, it might be with competitive products. Sometimes it makes more economic sense. It's more cost, benefit to the producer to displace your competition rather than trying to go someplace and just develop new markets and new markets and new markets. So these are things that we look at very, very closely as we strategize and prioritize as we look at the international markets. I would say a couple other things that we're dealing with on an overreaching side of it is, we look at the DDA, these Doha development talks, as being very critical, again, to engendering your ability to sell more product internationally. We're looking at Japan with a 38.5% duty. That's going to come down as we have successful DDA talks. You look at Korea, there's been an FTA signed. That's going to be in 2021. The duties will come down to zero. I think we could have had even better deal with Korea. Pork's at 2014. But nonetheless, that's the way it was set up. But as we look at, for example, Russia, they have a quota, and they have an out of, and also if you take a look at Europe, these quotas will come down. For example, Europe today has a 20% duty. But what happens, they have an out-of-tariff quota that goes up to about 60%. So all this tariffication is very, very key. And so market access is one of the key pillars that's going on in these negotiations. And so the more that we can have this market access, the more the dollar stays where it is, the more that we can supplant our competition, I think it's going to be very, very good for the beef industry long-term in these international markets. So with that, I would just like to say that from the MEF standpoint, we feel very privileged to be able to represent U.S. producers on a daily basis. We have 15 offices around the world, all these different markets. There's not just one general, approach you can have. Each market is different. Each market gives you different things. It's kind of like in football where you have to kind of exploit wherever there's opportunities in that defense. I found that, and I've spent a lot of time in Asia, but I found that there's different ways of working with customers. And I think the U.S., and when I look at BSE, there's been a very strong, kind of like the rock approach. I think at MEF, we take more of the water approach. And where there's ways we can get into a market, if you can just work in any way, that's how we try to get in there. And we think that by doing this, this is what's really helped our industry. So longer term, we have challenges. I think we have to do more to sell the industry internationally. There's been a lot of affronts to the integrity of the beef industry, of the meat complex, and I think we have to do more. Animal welfare is becoming much more of a celebrated issue in a lot of countries, especially the advanced countries. So we're doing more in our communications. And, for example, in Japan, we have a We Care campaign we started 3 years ago. This kind of thing is going on, putting a face on the industry. I think the other thing that we're seeing internationally, because I always see, we can kind of be like the canary in the coal mine. There's things that start cropping up like in Europe and places that will visit us here. And this whole thing on the ethics of meat production is becoming a celebrated issue internationally. This ties into global warming. It ties into the carbon footprint, all these kinds of things. So the more that we can put this, if you'd look at this, a lot of consumers internationally want to buy into this ethical proposition. They want to feel that we're ethical about the way we do things. And so the more that we can talk about this, that we're good, the animal welfare side, the animal care side, the more we can talk about the ethical sides of these things, I think this is going to help us longer term internationally. So these are some of the things we're dealing with. I don't know if you have any questions. I'd try to answer any, but if not. Oh, yeah. And in the back, we do quarter reports that we provide to the CBB. And we have about 125 of those out in the back table, and you're welcome to take a look at those. But thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Abel Phil from Seth Dam. We talked in our executive committee meeting yesterday about our phone calls that we made to board members. And Phil, the vast majority of people that I had the opportunity to talk to, and I didn't get to talk to everyone, but when asked the question, what we're doing right now with our checkoff dollars, what do you think is doing the most good for us? And the vast majority of those folks said foreign market. So you might want to take that flag and use it as a cape, because apparently you're the new hero around here. And as we talked in the meeting yesterday and talked about our phone calls and issues and that type of thing, that thought was pretty prevalent. And I think the discussion that surrounded your all's trip here this morning is evident of the awareness that everybody has that the foreign market is playing in our industry today. And I just want to thank you for that on behalf of those producers out there.
I would say that, and I really compliment the leadership here of taking this trip, because I think you really can't really understand a market until you really get into it. You go visit it, you're there, and you spend some time. And that's what you folks did, and I think that really, I think, helps to illustrate with the potentials that are out there. As far as being the new hero, I still think I'm the same old target. But other than that, I'll let you guys go.
Thank you, Phil.